Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
One of the wisest decisions I have ever made in my entire life I made it 51 years ago when I married into the Reese family. And I got the cream of the crop of those four daughters, I tell you. I'm so blessed because she chose to be my wife over these 51 years. On December 6th, I got an e-news from Marianne's sister, Judy, who lives down in Alabama. And this is what she said. Today is the day that Mom went to heaven, several years ago now, talking about Marianne's mother. I prayed this morning that God would bless her memory and that He would bless the lives she touched. Our family, the Japanese, the soldiers in Japan, the students she taught, the people at Westside Baptist and Lacey Baptist, the ladies' Sunday school class she taught, so many lives she touched. Thank you, Father, for her memory, Judy writes. May we continue the spiritual legacy she left us, and may her prayers continue to live on. And here's the punchline. And Lord, thank you for her high school friend, Helen, who told her about Jesus and invited her to church. That's where it starts, folks. That day changed the life of my mom. May we be that kind of a friend to others and tell others about Jesus. Today we're talking about Mary, the woman who God chose to be the mother of Jesus. And Mary and her story, as told in Luke chapter 1, is the central part of the Christmas story. And now, unfortunately, people are greatly divided about her importance and her role. And so the message this morning is Mary, the magnificent mother of Jesus. And we will be taking a close-up view of Mary. And as we study her life, we will discover right here embedded in Luke chapter 1 that Mary was the possessor of five character traits. Now, there's a very special bond between a son and his mother. Dads can love us a whole lot. They express their love in so many different ways. But it's the nurturing aspect of a mother that builds that bond between the mother and the son. Now, Sherry may remember. She remembers things that I don't, and I remember things that she doesn't about our childhood experiences, but I can never remember my dad hugging me. I know he loved me, without a doubt. But it was Mom who nestled me into her bosom and held me when I was hurting. I had my first rejection when I was 16, 17 years old, and I was rejected by a girl. Can you believe that? And I felt so down low, and I sat there by the old oil stove, and I cried. And my mom came over, and she hugged me. And then she began to run her hand through my hair. And she began to build me up. Told me what a fantastic son I was and how proud she was of me. And on it went. And so I felt pretty good after that encounter with a mom. I say that to simply say this. Jesus must have had a strong bond between himself his mother. And we say that because Joseph, many Bible scholars believe, died at a very young age, and so Mary was a single mom with Jesus in those years. Another thing I learned about Mary was that Mary was the only human person who was there at the birth of Jesus and who was there as he hung on the cross. The only one. She was there at this wonderful event, and then she was there at that horrific event as he hung on the cross. When Jesus came into the world, she was rejoicing. 33 years later, as she watched her son die on the cross, prophecy was fulfilled. A sword pierced her own heart. But Mary is a very controversial figure even to this day, because our Catholic friends, they fawn over Mary, and Protestants kind of put her in the shadows, so to speak. Our Roman Catholic friends in the religious environment, they exalt Mary, and they pray to Mary, and they have elevated Mary. To some, Mary is described as the redemptrix of the human race, as well as the mediatrix of the human race. Fancy words simply seems to mean in the Greek words that some believe that she was the mediator between mankind and God. And even in the basilica in Rome called the Santa Maria, they have a picture of Mary hanging on the cross with Jesus, as if she helped him redeem the world. And inside that church is a painting that depicts Jesus crowning Mary as the Queen of Heaven. And according to our Catholic friends and the Eastern Orthodox Church, Mary was always a virgin. Even after she had Jesus, she was the perpetual virgin, even though the scripture says otherwise. And also, these two religious denominations believe in the Immaculate Conception, that Mary, in other words, was untainted by original sin. And so they have elevated her to the place where Mary answers prayer and Mary dispenses grace. Now, all of those are not biblical. They're not true. You say that they are, but you can't find a shred of evidence in the Bible indicating that that is true. One of my goals at New Hope is I want you folks to know your Bible. Protestants, on the other hand, have a tendency to put Mary into the shadows. And yes, she was blessed among women, and she was favored among women because God chose her to be the mother of Jesus. But I think that Mary was a magnificent woman. And I want to look into the scriptures and tell you why, because I've discovered that she had five character traits that made her a magnificent person. And by the way, if you and I will tap into these same character traits that Mary possessed, you will become a magnificent man of God, and you will become a magnificent woman of God. Now, I love Christmas messages. I love the Christmas time of the year, to tell you the truth. I love preaching about it. I love studying about it. I love teaching about it. And even though I love Christmas, I'm also loving the time when Christmas is all over and we can get on with our life. One of the reasons why I'm glad Christmas is over, because you folks know it all. I mean, how many sermons have you heard about the wise men? How many sermons have you heard about the shepherds? How many sermons have you heard about King Herod? How many sermons have you heard about the star? How many of you heard hundreds of sermons on the manger? You folks know it all. And there's reason to believe that some of you even know the real story on Christmas. For example, This Christmas time of the year, December, really wasn't the time of the month that we celebrate Christmas, but tradition says that it's so, and so we celebrate it because of tradition. But Jesus really wasn't born in Bethlehem. Jesus really wasn't born in December in Bethlehem. But why take the fun out of Christmas is my philosophy. But some of you know that there were more than three kings that traveled from the east. And those of you who know the real story know that Silent Night, it was anything but a silent night when Jesus was born. We've got the historical background, and some of you are more advanced than others, and you know that some of the Christmas carols that we sing misrepresent the biblical story of the birth of Jesus. And so, I know you know it, but listen to this. To come to grips with the thought that a virgin girl impregnated by the Holy Spirit so that that baby bump on Mary was the creator of the universe. Now let's just pause right there. That is mind-boggling to me. It really is. It blows my circuits to think that actually happened, and it did. Even to this day, after all my years of preaching and teaching and studying the Bible, I still cannot get my mind around that fact. Can't even conceive it. But it's true. And I believe in the virgin birth. Some people don't believe in the virgin birth. They say that is impossible. And I agree with them. Yes, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And really, that's the solution. And I've always thought and believed that if we can get past the first few verses of chapter 1 in the book of Genesis, the rest of the Bible will be easy to grasp, believe, and buy into. Because if we can believe in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, everything else in the scripture is a cakewalk compared to that. Wouldn't you agree? If he can pull that off, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he can pull anything off. So I do believe in the virgin birth, and later on down the road, I'm going to tell you why I believe in the virgin birth. You folks need to know why you believe in the virgin birth. But these thoughts must have dawned on Mary from the very beginning. I really believe that when the angel came to visit her, she really didn't quite grasp it all at once. These first thoughts of the angel making that proclamation, I can imagine Mary must have said, "What? Run that by me one more time?" She may even scratched her head. But then it began to dawn on her as the days came and went. You remember those old Polaroid cameras we used to take pictures of? And we'd take a picture, and then we would have to wait until it became into focus. And so we snapped a picture, and we could barely see the image that we took. But then as it was developing, it pretty soon came into full view. And we thought, man, that is a beautiful picture. I think Mary was like that. I think it came into focus over a period of time. So combing through this chapter, we will see five character attributes of Mary. And here's the first one. The first one was she was real. She was real. She was a real person. She really existed. And she was historical. Look at the text, chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth the son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, "I'm a virgin." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, indeed, the angel went on. Elizabeth, remember her? Mary does, of course. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing will be impossible. So Mary was real. And I make that statement because to some, Mary has been nothing more than a myth, an allegory, a fictitious person. Some believe that Mary never existed in history. And the reason is because she's not recorded in any of the history books. The only record we have of Mary existing is in the Bible. We have no historical records. We have no other historical records beside the Bible that she ever existed. And so I'm kind of surprised at that for a number of reasons. Number one, she lived in Nazareth. She lived in Nazareth. Nazareth was a podunk central in her day. It was way out of things. It was a hayseed village. Nobody really cared about Nazareth. Nobody knew about it. Even Nathaniel said, can anything good ever come out of Nazareth? It was kind of a looked down upon, despised town. We would never have heard of Nazareth unless Jesus was raised there. And so people like that, from places like that, they were never recorded in history. Furthermore, Mary was a Jew, a society that had been overrun by the Roman government. The Romans had no interest in recording the lives of their conquered people. Number three, she was from Israel, a patriarchal society where men had top billing in those days. Women had no legal rights in those days. A woman, she was owned by her father, and later she was owned by her husband. Women were not recorded in any of the genealogical records, typically, unless the woman was one of wealth or status or royalty. So I'm not surprised that Mary is not recorded anywhere else in the historical books other than the history book called the Bible. So who was Mary? Having established that, we believe that Mary was a real person. She had a miraculous birth. And the Jewish nation, listen to this, they had to come to terms with that. And so they have made up all sorts of stories about Mary. The Jewish Talmud says that Mary was a hairdresser. Can you believe that? Where did they come up with that? She was a hairdresser. Did she do nails too? Did she do the pedicure too? They say that she was a hairdresser and she had an affair with a Roman soldier. That's how Jesus was born, out of an illicit relationship. And the Roman soldier's name, they even named him. He was Panthera. And the union of Mary and Panthera, this Roman soldier, brought forth this illicit child. This illegitimate child, his name is Jesus. Now listen to this. I probably read between 50 and 75 sermons every week and preparing my own. I got a confession to make to you folks. I'm not smart enough to pull all of this off. I got to dig deep. And I do dig deep. And I'm prepared when Sunday morning comes. And I have a deep, deep well of resources known only to me that I share with you on Sunday mornings. And I say, if that thought resonates with me, it must resonate with you. And so I share it on a Sunday morning. I've been doing that for 50 years. Here's what one pastor had to say. He chose his Christmas text from the Beatles song, Let It Be Me. How many of you are familiar with that song? Let it be me. When I find myself in trouble, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. That's the lyric in that song. Let it be. And so he chose that as his text. And his opening statement was, is what he said. I had no idea. All these years singing that song, that was about Mary in the Bible. He actually thought that the Beatles were singing about Mary in the Bible. And so when I read his notes, I thought, man, you are way off the mark. You are not only biblically illiterate, but you are musically illiterate as well. Because Paul McCartney wrote that song about his mother. Her name was Mary. She died. And in a dream, he saw her one night, and he wrote a song that became a hit song the very next day. Now, to tell you the truth, folks, I love that song. I really do. I love a lot of the songs that the Beatles wrote and sung. I have quite a few of their songs in my vast music library. But this song, Let It Be, is not about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's about Paul McCartney's own mother, Mary. Mary was real. She was from a Jewish family. Her Jewish name would have been a name that she went by Miriam, a common name in those days. And because we believe the genealogical record in Luke chapter 3 is Mary's genealogy, and Matthew's genealogy is that of Joseph, then we would surmise that Mary's dad's name was Hilly, or Eli. So her name would have been Miriam Bat Eli, her Hebrew name. Now, how old was Mary when she had Jesus? Well, some of you already know the answer to that one. But scientific records indicate that in Mary's day, the menstrual maturity came around in a girl at the age of about 13 or 14. That's what the National Geographic Atlas called. The biblical world called, around 13 or 14, they became mature enough to have a baby. So Mary was between ages 12 and 14. Let's just say Mary was 13. She was 13 years of age when she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So Jewish women in those days, they reached their physical maturity and then they got married at age 13, 14, and they had a family. So we have somebody here who was very young, came from a very poor family, a young teenager from Nazareth, a working class village, who's engaged to a young man named Joseph. So what did Joseph do for a living? Well, some of you already know that. Some of you may not know that, so I'm going to tell you. What did Joseph do to earn a living? What was he?
Carpenter.
Say it again.
Carpenter.
That's the English translation. And unfortunately, you better study up again, because this guy, being the carpenter, which we think is one that builds houses or makes something out of wood, tables or chairs. But that's not who he really was. The Greek word is tekton. Tekton means a craftsman in the Greek. That is, a worker that works with hard materials. And in those days, what did they build houses out of? Not wood, they built them out of stone. So Jesus was a stone cutter, a stone worker. Now Peter talks about Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Where did he get that from? He uses also the term capstone. We talked about that at our Wednesday Bible study. So he may have worked with wood, to be sure, but primarily he worked with stone and some wood. He was a working class craftsman. And Mary was engaged to this guy. Now Mary came from the tribe of Judah. She was a direct descendant of King David, the royal line, which meant in her lineage, there were the great kings in the Old Testament like David, Solomon, Asaph, Josiah, Josaphat, great godly leaders of the past. But here's what's interesting. For 400 years, God has been silent at the end of the Old Testament. For 400 years, there had been no prophetic message, no revelation through Israel. There's been no angels appearing, no miracles happening. Silence from the God in heaven for 400 years. Then what happens? After 400 years, God decides, well, Gabriel, it's about time to speak again to the Jewish nation. So God sent the angel Gabriel down to Jerusalem on a mission. Isn't this a thrilling story? It is to me. 6 months before this, he appeared to a priest who was working in the temple. That priest's name was Zacharias. And Gabriel says, hey dude, listen up. Your wife, I know you guys are old, but Zacharias, your wife is going to have a baby. And you're going to call this baby boy John, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. 6 months later, Gabriel is on another mission. This time he shows up in this town called Nazareth. And he appears to Mary in the scene we have just read. Now Gabriel is a really interesting angel because he's more than just an angel. He's like the angel's angel. He is a super angel. There's only two angels that are mentioned by name in the Bible. You know who they are? I just gave you one, Gabriel, and the other one is Michael. Gabriel is the guy who came and gave to Daniel those prophetic messages, and we talked a lot about Daniel in the series a long time ago, chapter 8, chapter 9. Daniel did about the great 70-week prophecy that Gabriel gives that to him. Gabriel is also in charge of all the messianic news for the Jewish nation. So he shows up and he gives this news to Mary. And Mary's response is exactly what your response would be, women. I can't figure this one out. I'm confused. Would you run that by me one more time? It's impossible. I'm a virgin, she says. And the answer simply came from Israel, from Gabriel. Nothing shall be impossible with God. So you know what it was? Bottom line, it was a God thing. The Lord will overshadow you. This will be born. He will be born of the Holy Spirit, conceived by God. So this young, confused teenager gets up. And she takes off and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth in Jerusalem. Now that's a long journey. Nazareth to Jerusalem. If you took the Advent quiz yesterday, you would have known the answer on that distance between Nazareth and Jerusalem. Bible scholars say it was approximately 100 miles. They also tell us that that journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem took about 1 week. Now, why did she go visit her cousin, Elizabeth? One guess, and it's bullseye. Who else would understand what just happened to Mary than someone who had that similar experience? For example, God never wastes a hurt. How many times have I said that over the years? For example, someone crosses my path that is struggling, coming out of a divorce. They start talking to me about their hurts from that troubled marriage, and they say, "Pastor Dell, can you help me here?" And you know what I say? I say, "Well, you know, friend, I really can't even begin to identify with you because I have slept with the same woman for 51 years. I don't know what it's like to go through that loss, but I tell you what, I got some good news for you. I know about a half a dozen people who have experienced the same hurt that you have experienced, and they can help you more than I can, so I'm going to give you their number and their name. You call them, and they'll walk with you through this." Who else could understand what Mary was going through other than someone who had already been there? Who else would understand when a 14-year-old girl says, "Guess what? I'm pregnant by God." Like I said, I still can't get my mind wrapped around that. A woman who's had her own unusual pregnancy announced by the same angel could relate to Mary. That's why she made that 100-mile journey up to Jerusalem. Who's going to believe a girl around Nazareth anyway when she says, "Guess what? I'm going to be the mom of a Messiah, the Messiah"? Who would believe her? Nobody. But a woman up in Jerusalem who's been told she's going to be the mother of the forerunner of the Messiah. So off she goes to visit Elizabeth. Mary was real. That's character attribute number one. And you know what? This is concluding part one of this sermon because I've lost the race with the clock. My time is up. So next week I will share with you four more attributes that Mary had. Now here's the punchline. Mary was a real woman, right? She was a real woman. Say amen, she was. Amen. And she was real. Say amen, she was. This is where I get my one-liner. Folks at New Hope, I've said it for 30 years. We want you folks to be real when you come to church. Don't put on your Sunday toothbrush smile and act so pious when your heart is breaking on the inside. Be the same person you are on a Sunday morning that you are on a Monday morning out there in the real world. Don't fake it, is what I'm trying to say. How many of us are tired of hearing fake news? We want to hear the truth, amen?
Amen.
So, I say to the New Hopers, be real. Be yourself, but be your best self. And with God's help, all things are possible. And we become motivated to rise to occasion and say, "Yes, Lord, yes, help me to be the person you want me to be." Character trait number one, Mary was real. All said, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful worship we've had today. The singing was inspiring. The special music touched our heart. Karen's story of the star invigorated our faith to believe. and a star that is available to guide us when times get rough and tough. And thank you, Lord, most of all, for this beautiful young girl that you picked and chose to become the mother of Jesus. Help us to be real and authentic in our relationships with one another, and help us most of all, Lord, to be real with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.